though this song might make you think of a relaxed afternoon on a Hawaiian beach under a palm tree, the woman who wrote it actually lived through one of the most stressful times in Hawaiian history. The song is called Aloha Oe, and it was composed in 1878 by Liliuokalani, the last queen of Hawaii. The last one because in 1893, Liliu, as she called herself, was ousted by a cabal of white sugar planters who eventually engineered Hawaii's annexation to the United States 5 years later. That story is told in our book this week. It's called Lost Kingdom, Hawaii's Last Queen, the Sugar Kings, and America's First Imperial Adventure. Author Julia Flynn Seiler says that Christian missionaries arrived in Hawaii a few years before Liliu's birth in 1838, and they would soon change the islands almost beyond recognition.
The old saying in Hawaii about the Christian missionaries who arrived was they came to do good, and they did very well. And they did very well indeed, in fact. By the last decade, when Liliu assumed the throne of Hawaii, the sons and grandsons of the missionaries controlled the vast majority of arable land, as well as the banks, the steamship lines, and most other businesses. And when Liliu was born, there had been, you know, for centuries, taro fields and fish ponds, and those were very rapidly replaced by sugar fields. And so the span of her life really followed the economic transformation of the islands. My book is really about the collision between these two cultures, very vulnerable Polynesian peoples who had been isolated for so many years, colliding with the Western capitalist world.
By the time Liliu becomes the queen, she finds herself in an almost impossible situation in Hawaii, right? I mean, at that point, it's almost as if the independence of Hawaii has already been determined.
Yes, she inherited the throne in 1891 after the death of her brother, David Kalakaua. The islands were being buffeted by an economic downturn, as was the mainland at that point. The white business class in Hawaii was crying for a solution to their problems, and some of them saw the solution to be closer ties to the United States or annexation. And so while Liliu is facing that, she's also facing a personal crisis, the death of her husband, who had been her closest counselor for many, many years. He was a white man, the son of a ship captain. And the third leg of the stool is that Native Hawaiians urged her to try to regain more powers for the monarchy. During the time of her brother's reign, he had essentially been stripped of many of his powers by the white merchant class. He was essentially a figurehead. And Liliu, upon taking the throne and at the request of her people, tried to regain some of those powers by introducing a new constitution. And what happened was that a very small group of people, the Committee of 13, which was named after the French revolutionaries, formed and used that action on Liliu's part as a pretext for an overthrow that was backed by U.S. Marines in January of 1893.
At this point, President Grover Cleveland calls for a congressional inquiry that finds this to be illegal, right? I mean, the U.S. Congress says what these merchants have done in Hawaii is against the law.
Yes, that's right. And that's one of the saddest parts of Lost Kingdom is that there was a 2,000-page report by the envoy sent out by President Cleveland that absolutely found on behalf of the Queen that this was an illegal action. But that didn't end up reversing what had happened. And the Queen never did end up getting put back on the throne.
She had some initial success but could never convince enough people to back her, right?
Partly that was it, and partly that the second envoy that was sent out found something very different than the first envoy had found. And so he sent back a big report that muddied the waters about what exactly had happened. Meanwhile, Liliu, in speaking to that envoy, perhaps in a moment of anger, perhaps in a moment of fury at what had happened, had spoken of the conspirators being beheaded, as was the law at that time in Hawaii. And so that put the U.S. president into a terrible position. Could he put a queen back on the throne who had suggested that those who had overthrown her should be beheaded?
what happened in Hawaii takes place at a time when the United States was really beginning to engage, actively engage in what could be described, easily could be described as imperialism, right? I mean, eventually they would get to Cuba and the Philippines. So was this seen as a perfectly normal thing for an emerging power to be doing at the time anyway?
Well, our founding fathers had a vision, at least initially, that we would not be an empire. And why this episode in 1893 in Hawaii is so important is that this was the first time in America's history that we reached beyond our mainland shores and took a nation that had been independent, sovereign, recognized by the other great powers of the day, including Great Britain, including France, as being an independent nation, and we grabbed it for America.
That's Julia Flynn Seiler. Her new book is called Lost Kingdom, Hawaii's Last Queen, the Sugar Kings, and America's First Imperial Adventure. Julia, thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy.